The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good and Jesus is Lord. Whatever you're going through tonight, God is never your problem. He is your answer. He's the solution for every situation that you are dealing with tonight. All we need to do is lift our eyes up to where our help comes from, the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the awesome news about it is that God has given us His Word, which is the same thing as His will. And we don't need to be confused about what the will of God is. We've got the Bible. That's the book for you and me. That book has everything in it that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that God wants us to have and wants us to know is in His book. And so that's why it is so important that we read the Bible. We open it up and we read the Bible and we go by what His Word says. My bishop taught me many years ago, he said, never believe the words of a preacher. If he or she cannot show you in the Bible, you're under no obligation to receive it. And in case you wonder, there is an adversary to our faith. His name is the devil. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But be sober, be vigilant, and resist him steadfast in the faith. Well, how do we resist him in the faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to take the sword of the Spirit, that word, which is the word of God. The word sword there is actually the word dagger, which means a sharp instrument which was meant for hand-to-hand combat. And so he tells us to take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word there is the Greek word rhema. And rhema means the spoken word of God. In other words, God will give you what you need in that moment to overcome the enemy. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dominions and spiritual rulers in heavenly places. And so we take God's word that the Holy Spirit gives us in those moments, and that's how we overcome. I'm always weary when people are telling me their opinion, or they're telling me about a dream they had, but the dream doesn't line up with God's word. You know, John the Baptist, the Bible tells us, he found himself in the word of God. He found that he was the one in the wilderness crying, make way, make room for the coming of the Lord. And so God's word is always in the B-I-B-L-E. If God is speaking to you today, that word will always be corroborated with the B-I-B-L-E. That's why we always stick with the word of God. And when Jesus was under attack of the enemy, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he responded and he said, it is written. And the devil attacked him again, and he responded, it is written. And the devil attacked him again. He said, it is written. The word of God has every answer and every weapon that we need in order to overcome the attack of the enemy. And I want to really spend some time tonight talking about how to overcome with our faith, how to beat the devil when we are standing and believing for victory. So I want to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, especially if you're a first-time listener, I want to hear from you tonight. Email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Take a minute and give us a quick share and a like if you're watching on Facebook. If you're listening on Reality Radio, which is 99% of the folks, grab that link, realityradio101.com, and just send it off right now on WhatsApp, or send it off on Facebook, or send it off on Messenger, or whatever method that you use to communicate with your groups. Send it out so that they can join us tonight and be a part of this conversation. We always have a lot of folks that do Bible studies with us every Sunday night. They get their Bible, pen and paper, and they sit down and they study the word with us. So tonight will be no different. We're going to have a great time in the word. Once again, email me instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Let's pray and let's get right into the word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless you and magnify you. You told us to rejoice in the Lord always, and rejoicing means to brighten up and cheer up. Why? Because you are on our side. You're the one who will never leave us and never forsake us. You're the God that sticks closer than a brother. You are our shepherd. You are so good and so wonderful, and there is no fear in you. There's no intimidation in you. There's no intrepidation in you. You are the one who gives us peace and joy. And so we pray together for all of our listeners tonight, and we ask, Father, a blessing upon each and every one, and those that need to tune in, that they will tune in now. We pray, Father, that you will help them and strengthen them, that their faith would be charged, their spirits would be empowered, their minds would be renewed, and that you would give them a quickening word, Lord, that will bring them up if they're in a miry clay right now, if they're in that dark place, that you will bring them up tonight, and that every person would be encouraged by your word tonight. Give them specific words. Use this radio broadcast. Use this time, Father, for your spirit to minister to your people, to starve their doubts and feed their faith. We thank you for it in advance. We give you glory and honor and praise. We're open for the gifts and the manifestations of your spirit, however you would choose to move tonight. We thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement shouted amen. Amen. I got one kind of sort of shout, but I'll take it. Praise God. Amen. You know, saying amen to a preacher is like giving spinach to Popeye. It gives them power. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's get into the word tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And it reads, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So just before the radio broadcast started tonight, I was meditating on receiving the end of our faith, or receiving the answer to our prayers.
And let's take a look at this verse. It's found in 1 Timothy. Let's see, where is it? Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's go there, please, if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, grab your Bible. Take a second. Grab your Bible, open your phone, open your iPad, wherever you got your Bible, and open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 8. And it says, let's back up. Let's start with verse 7. No, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, the Greek word here for temptations is the Greek word perasmos. Perasmos, if you're watching on Facebook, I will stick this word right now in the comment so you can see it. Comment. And it's the Greek word perasmos. And this word perasmos means a trial of any kind. So any type of test or trial or difficulty. So right now I am going through a perasmos. And I've been going through this. Now, temptation, it could be regarding the flesh. This word could be talking about a temptation to your flesh. One example would be Joseph. And the Bible says that when Joseph lived in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife was hot after Joseph's bones. And she wanted that man, and she was lusting after him, even though she was a married woman. And the Bible says that he resisted her day after day after day. Well, what was that? It was a temptation to his flesh to have an affair with her. Now, I don't know how really tempted he was, because he was absolutely determined that he was not going to do that. I remember in my younger days as a believer, I had a similar situation. I haven't told too many people about this. I don't know who I've told about this. But it was back in the days when I was working as a paramedic, and this woman whose husband was very sick, she decided that she was going to be hot after me. And she called me, and, this is like pre-text message days. But she kept at it. And my walk with God was pretty early in my walk with the Lord, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And I just had absolutely zero interest in this temptation. And I can see how some people, this would be a major temptation in their life. And it happened over and over and over and over again, but I resisted it and resisted it, and finally it stopped. Well, James chapter 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee or run off in terror. When you're submitted to God, temptations don't have the same desire in your life. In other words, you know, what might be a strong temptation for one person may not be as strong of a temptation for another person. But when either of those people are in love with Jesus, come on, somebody, when you're in love with Jesus and you're seeking Jesus and he is first and foremost in your life, there's no room for that temptation to get in. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. He said that Satan desires me, but he's got nothing in me. Therefore, I won't speak to you much more. This is around John 17, before Jesus died on the cross. And he said that Satan desires me, but he's got nothing in me. Why? Because Jesus was in love with the Father. And when you're in love with the Father, temptation doesn't have the same type of grip in your life. And so it's much easier to resist it. But this word temptation in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, is not just talking about temptations of the flesh, temptations to sin. It's talking about any type of adversity, any type of trial or difficulty. And so the definition here is an experiment, attempt or trial, or even a proving. There's a dictionary I really like. I encourage you all to get it. My buddy, who's a Greek scholar, he turned it on to me a few, maybe a couple years. Actually, he just sent it to me. He bought it on Amazon and sent it to me. I bought it for my bishop and Pastor Deborah. And Pastor Cheryl and I sent it to them, to be a blessing. How many know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? But this dictionary is really good, for Hebrew and Greek, but I especially like it for the Greek, and it's called Mounce's Dictionary, Mounces, Mounce's Dictionary. And, I'm trying to pull this word up on my Bible software, which doesn't want to come up right now. But anyways, let's get back to what we're talking about. So this word parosmos means a trial of any kind. And one of the definitions means a constancy. And so Satan will continue to try you, trying to get you to become weak and trying to get you to give in. I just quoted the scripture where he says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The word devil is the Greek word diabolos, D-I-A, and then bolos, B-O-L-O-S. Bolos is a Greek word. It's a compound word. The word bolos means to strike continually, with the idea of violence, a continual violent striking. The word dia means to penetrate and to separate. So diabolos is not one of the names of Satan. Rather, it's his job description. I hope you're listening right now, because this is really vital information that's going to help you to understand the methodologies of the devil, his modus operandi, how he operates. And so he strikes and strikes and strikes your mind. Remember, he is as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He can't bite you. He can't physically attack you, but he strikes your mind with thoughts. He'll hit your thoughts over and over and over and over until he what? Penetrates. What does that mean, penetrate? It means that he gets you to start to believe his lies. His lies are, it's never going to turn around. His lies are, you're just going to have to settle for your current situation. His lies are, the mountain is not moving. His lies are, this sickness is going to end in death. He's just a liar. And so once he gets you to believe his lies, he then begins the process of separating. What is he ultimately trying to do? He's trying to separate us from the love of God. Is it possible to separate us from the love of God? It is if you believe a lie. You say, no, Pastor, it's impossible. Once saved, I'm always saved. That's not true. And that's not what the scriptures teach. The Bible tells us that we are to hold fast to our profession of faith, that we are to not let go of the promises of God. And if it were true that we could not lose our salvation, then why would there be a temptation? Because if it's a true temptation, it means that we could actually fall. And the scripture says that a man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when sin is entered in and conceives, it brings forth death. And so Satan is trying to get us to believe his lies so that he can separate us, if not from God, ultimately, certainly separate us from receiving the promise of God in our life. Perhaps you're believing tonight for restoration. Perhaps you're believing for a miracle in some other area. Perhaps you're believing for healing in your body. You've got to continue to stand until it manifests. So let's go back here to 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 6 says that you're in heaviness through manifold or multiple different tests and trials of any kind. The heaviness comes when we're going through heavy difficulties, when we're going through these trials. The trials are not fun, they're not comfortable, and they're trying to wear you out. They're trying to get you to just submit and give up and give in. But the Bible says that we must resist, we must be sober, we must be vigilant. We must, having done all to stand therefore. And so it is so important that when you're in the midst of these heavy trials, that you continue to stand in faith. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, your faith is more precious than gold. Now, gold perishes, but you know what? Gary, we don't think of gold as perishing very much because we think gold is one of the most precious metals that we wear on our fingers, that we keep on us, that are going to last forever.
Right, that's correct.
Even diamonds. People think, well, diamonds are forever. Diamonds are a girl's best friend and all this kind of garbage. But there's nothing down here that is forever. Everything down here, including diamonds, one day is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything's going to be burned up. So you might think something that you have is forever, but it's not in this natural world. But there is something that is more precious than gold that lasts forever, and it is called your faith or your confidence in God. And the Bible clearly teaches that you can have little faith and you can have much faith. Much faith is how you please God much. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, Satan doesn't want you to please God. Satan wants you to become defeated. And so what does he do? He tempts you. Remember the word diabolos. He strikes and strikes and strikes and strikes in your mind until he penetrates, and then he begins to separate. He wants you to let go of the promise of God. I think most people right now that are listening to me, you're believing God for something. You're believing God for a breakthrough. You're believing God for a miracle. You're believing God to do something in your life. Well, Satan is going to come with manifold temptations and pressures to try to get you to let go of that promise so that you won't please God, so that you won't receive what you want, and that you'll be defeated. But God wants you to receive these promises. Jesus said, ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. He wants you to be full of joy, because when you're full of joy, you're telling other people how wonderful Jesus is. The worst thing that there is a Christian that looks like they've been baptized in lemon juice. No, man, you need to quit being a sourpuss. And the way that you'll stop being sour is when you believe God and you see through to the end of your faith and you receive the promise of God. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perishes. So gold perishes, though it is tested or proven with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about gold. We're talking about your faith. And he says that your faith, though it is tried by fire, that it might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, let's dissect very quickly what faith is. Well, the name of this show is the Spirit of Faith. So back in 2 Corinthians 4, 13, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. There is no faith without speaking. What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to get you. He's trying to penetrate your thinking until you let go of the promise of God. What are you believing God for? You say, well, what I was believing God for wasn't that important. Well, why was it a was? If it had manifested overnight, would it be a was, or would it be an is? It'd be an is. Because when you prayed, you believed that you received, you had full faith for it. But then what happened? Satan came immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart. He came to take that promise of God out of your heart. How did it get sown in your heart? You spoke it. We believe, therefore we speak. When you spoke it, what does Satan come to do? Comes to steal that word. And so we are in a time right now, I know I am myself, of manifold temptations. Temptations to what? To let go of the promise of God. But listen, your faith is more precious than gold that is tried. We try the gold to get the impurities out. You know, I have some gold. My wedding ring is made of platinum, and platinum is even more expensive than gold. It's a softer metal, but it's more precious, and it's all the impurities got to be burned out of it until it becomes pure, just like gold, praise God. Why do we do that? We do it because we want the real thing. Well, why do temptations come when you're standing in faith? Because we want the real thing. God's looking for the real thing. How do we know if it's real faith? Because it's been proven. How do you know that it's real faith? Because it's been tested. How do you know it's real faith? Because it's been tried. Well, that's why we must hold fast and maintain the profession of our faith until the manifestation. We're going to see it in a moment. Verse 8, whom having not yet seen, you love him, Jesus, in whom, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now notice verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So there is the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul, but there's also the end of your faith in other areas of that which you are believing God for. So there's always an end to your faith, because when you see it, you don't need to still believe God for it. We see this concept in Romans chapter 8. I want to, before we go there though, I just want to look at my notes here real quick. Let's jump over to Romans chapter 8. Let's see. It talks about how we are saved by hope. And of course, our spirits are saved by grace, but our bodies are saved by hope or expectation of that which is in the future. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 24, Romans 8, verse 24. I'd love to hear from you tonight. If you just tuned in tonight, this is Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, if you're a first-time listener, please shoot me a quick email. I get 50 to 70 new first-time listeners every week, and I love to give you a shout-out on the air. So if you're a first-time listener, please email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Now we're going to Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 24, and it says, for we are saved by hope. Now the word hope is an earnest expectation of the future. So now when we talk about the redemption of our bodies have not been redeemed yet. Our spirit, our souls rather, have not yet been redeemed. Our souls have not yet been saved. I don't know if you could say your soul's not redeemed. I guess your soul is redeemed. It's purchased. The word redemption means to purchase or to ransom. So your soul, I would say, has been purchased because your soul goes along with your spirit. Remember this, saints. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in a body. Your spirit and your soul make up your cardia, or your heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And we find in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe in your cardia, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the cardia is not just your spirit, it's your spirit and your soul. Otherwise, he would have said, if you believe in your pneuma, which is your spirit. But it's not just your spirit, it's your spirit and your soul. However, when you're born again, your soul is not born again. Your spirit is born again. Your soul must be renewed. Two verses very quickly. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be renovated. Transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. Metamorpho means changed, to go as from a caterpillar to a butterfly, a total metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renovation, the renewing of your mind, your psuche, which is your soul, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Then we find in James chapter 1, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. The word save there means to preserve your soul. Until when? Until the day that Jesus returns. So when we talk here in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, that we are saved by hope, he's talking about the redemption of your body. The full manifestation of the sons of God is when our bodies are redeemed, is when our bodies receive a blood transfusion. It's, I guess there's a got to be a better way for transfusion, because you're not getting new blood. The blood is going to leave your body, but your veins and your arteries are going to be filled back up with the glory of God. Our bodies will become glorified bodies. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption, but we shall receive glory flowing through our veins and our arteries, and we will forever be changed. When? How quickly? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 8. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? And so hope is an expectation of what we are believing God for. Now, when it comes to the promise of the redemption of our body, that is not given us as a promise for now. You can't have faith for it yet, because it's not in the now yet, it's in the future. It has not yet been established. Well, it has been established when it will happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. It's for an appointed time. And so we are waiting for that promise. And the word waiting has to do with hope. It's an expectation of the future. But faith is now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You could say it like this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Faith is evidence of the things not yet seen. And so the promises that we have in God, we take them and we believe that we receive them now. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Healing is a promise for you right now. Peace is a promise for you right now. Other desires that you have, perhaps you've got a specific desire regarding something in your life, and it lines up with the Word of God. That is the most important thing. I want you to write down this verse in John. It's John 16, I believe, toward the end. And he said, let me find it real quick. My words abide in you, and you abide in me. John 15, verse 7. Write this down, please. John 15, verse 7. Very, very, very important verse. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, what you will. Ask what you will. Ask what you want. Ask what you desire. Again, Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, the word words here in John 15, 7 is the Greek word rhema, which means spoken word. So before we release our faith, which comes by rhema, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the rhema, before we release it, we need to first get it. And so before you release your faith in prayer, in asking, it's important that you go to the Word of God, find out what the Word of God says about what you're believing God for, pray about it. And then once you got it, once the rhema's there, once the quickening is there, once the peace is there, once the knowing is there, now you pray. I had that situation this morning in church during worship service. Gary, as we were worshiping God, Gary, we were singing songs about speaking to the mountain. And the mountain that stood before me was this vax pass.
Yeah.
The vaccine pass,
right?
That's causing people to be segregated. That's now created a two class society. You've got the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and the vaccinated don't like the unvaccinated. The vaccinated don't want to be around the unvaccinated. They have created this tyranny, in this segregation, opposition between two classes of people. They've created two classes of people. And I just saw it in the spirit. And I just saw that it's God's will this be cursed. And so once I got that quickening, that rhema on the inside, I just began to speak to it. And I cursed it, and I commanded it to die, commanded this vax pass to go, and that this vax pass will not rule our churches. There's already a pastor that's gone to jail just this past week in New Brunswick, Pastor Phil. And one article I read said that he was not enforcing the vax pass. Other articles said that he was not enforcing masking. He was not enforcing physical distancing. He was just, doing diabolical crimes against humanity in light of this pandemic. So he's in jail as we speak because the Crown has created a case that says that he is a menace to society, and he might have another church service that might cause other people to be together. Oh my goodness. And so, he's being persecuted for this. I'm telling you, this vax pass thing is absolutely demonic. And I don't know about you, I ain't participating in it. So check me out, man. I ain't participating in it. It's demonic. And so I cursed it today, and I just saw it in the spirit, but I didn't curse it until I had it first in my heart. And I think sometimes that's where we miss it, saints, is that we pray too quickly. We pray from emotion. We just pray and we just shoot it off, but we're not willing to stand behind it. And when we talk about receiving the end of our faith, we need to be able to hold fast our profession of faith until we see the manifestation. So when it comes to the redemption of our bodies, we need to hold fast to our confession that Jesus is coming for us. He said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. I'm coming back to get you." Jesus is coming to get us. That's the promise. That's hope. That's the promise we have for the future. And so we maintain our profession of faith. We hold fast to it that Jesus is going to return. Well, he said that whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want, it shall be done. But you need to be prepared to see it through to the end of your faith. Let's keep reading here in Romans chapter 8. And he says, but hope that is seen, verse 24, is not hope, for what a man sees, why does he yet still expect it? You don't expect it if you already have it. But if we hope for that what we don't see, then we do with patience wait for it. Woo, patience. Oh my goodness. How many people like patience? Patience is the Greek word epomene, and patience means endurance, steadfastness, staying power, continuing to not be moved in the midst of adversity. And then he says, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. So the Holy Spirit will help us through this, but it's our job to maintain the profession of our faith, to not let go of the promise of God until we see the end of our faith. Praise God. I hope that helps somebody tonight in the name of Jesus. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, if you're a first-time listener, please give me a shout-out and let me know where you're listening from. We have new listeners every single week from all over the world that are listening. I'll tell you where folks tuned in from last week. We had people from England, Jamaica, Mexico, Norway, Russia, Spain, Turkey, the United States, and Canada. I'm staying on guard for Canada. How about you, Gary? I'm praying for Canada. I'm praying for sure. Our leadership, man. God's got us here for a reason. And I don't believe it's here to jump ship. It's here to continue to stand, continue to pray, continue to be a light, and continue to hold back the forces of darkness. Praise God. But the U.S. is creeping up on Canada. We're only about 19 more listeners in Canada. So let's up that, Canada. We need more folks listening in Canada in the name of Jesus. But you know, from day one, Gary, Canada has always been our number one listeners.
And probably rightfully so, because we are based in Canada, and that's usually what happens.
Well, I thought you told me that usually the U.S. usually out, yes, out you, do it.
That has been the history, but we have seen when we promote, we say that Pastor John's from Toronto and that stuff. So it's probably, yeah. It's probably more.
A's. I can say A with the best of the Canadians.
Oh, yeah. So that's A? Why. Yeah, A?
Praise the Lord, A. All right, A, let's go to our first folk tonight. And we've got, let's see here, we have James. James is writing in and says, always a pleasure to listen to you when I can. Buffalo, New York loves you. Praise God. Love you too, my brother James. And we love Buffalo. I have a friend in Buffalo named Bishop. Isn't that terrible? Robert Stearns. Bishop Robert Stearns is in Buffalo. Praise God. So a shalom and a shout out to Bishop Stearns in Jesus' name. And James, I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Another email here tonight from Erica. Erica says, hello, Pastor. Thank you for all the prayers that you have been offering for COVID. We need them and we want them. Thank you. Let's take a moment right now, Erica, and let's release our faith. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for your keeping power. Thank you, Lord, that you preserve us and you keep us in the midst of this plandemic and mandemic and so-called pandemic. Father, we thank you right now that you are our protector and you're our keeper. You're the lover of our soul. You're the healer of our body. You're the deliverer. You're the one that protects us and heals us. You're Jehovah Rapha. And so, Father, I speak Psalm 91 over every listener right now. We thank you for your protection. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to send you, actually, I'll just tell you all where to go. I don't know if it's on Spirit of Faith website. It's what I call the PSA 91 confession. And you can confess it every single day. And I've got it written out for you at our website, which is wordoffaithtoronto.com. wordoffaithtoronto.com. I'll have them put it up on the Spirit of Faith broadcast, or spiritoffaithradio.com. But it won't happen immediately. So in the meantime, go to wordoffaithtoronto.com, and on our homepage, you'll see the PSA 91 vaccine or confession. And you can confess that over yourself. I'm not going to take the time right now because I got several emails to get to. But keep yourself covered with your faith. And that PSA 91 confession will help you. There's also a tither's confession that you can get as well at Spirit of Faith Radio. Excuse me, at wordoffaithtoronto.com. wordoffaithtoronto.com. Erica, call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Linda. Linda says, hey, Pastor, at certain times in biblical scripture, Jesus asks folks things that he apparently did not know. So my question is this. Did God give Jesus his godly powers only at certain times while he walked this earth? In other words, only when he needed to perform a miracle, etc. Thank you, Linda. It's a great question. And I think you're right on the right track. And let me explain it like this. Number one, Jesus is God. He is the Word of God. And Jesus has always been. Jesus has no beginning. He has no ending. He is God. Jesus was born of a virgin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that he is the second Adam. And so the Holy Ghost, Luke chapter 1, came upon Mary, and the Holy Ghost hovered on her uterus, and the sperm of God caused her egg to be fertilized. And the child that grew in her was the child that had never experienced sin. So the body of Jesus was the second Adam, for 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the last Adam. And so his body was just like that of Adam that had never experienced sin. But his spirit was the Lord from heaven. And so when you, if you remember, God made Adam in his image and in his likeness. Jesus was not made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus is God. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, Adam became a living nephesh, or a soul, or a speaking spirit. And so the spirit of Adam, who Adam really is an offspring of God, and then was breathed into his body that was created from the dirt. Jesus's body was created by the sperm of God, the second Adam, but his spirit of Jesus came from heaven because Jesus is the Lord of heaven. And so Jesus, being born of a virgin as the second Adam, as God, did not live as God. He lived like Adam as a man on this earth. Jesus is what we call the hypostatic union theologically. Hypostatic means that Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. But Jesus did not live his life on the earth as God. He lived his life as a man anointed by the Spirit of God, which means Jesus did not just do whatever he wanted when he wanted it. The first miracle we see is after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, which the first miracle is the wedding at Cana when he turned the water into wine in John. And so there were no miracles in Jesus's life until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said, the times when the Father restores the kingdom on this earth, which will be the millennial reign of Christ, which we are on the cusp of. He said that time and season is in the Father's hands alone, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, you're going to receive power just like Jesus received power when he was baptized of the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. Now, Acts 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. Not because of the hypostatic union, not because he was God, but because he was a man anointed by God. And Jesus said four different times, he said, I can only do what the Father shows me to do. I can only act as the Father shows me to act. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. And so we see that Jesus, as the perfect example, is showing us that we need the Holy Spirit, we need God, we need his guidance, we need his power in order to do anything. And so did Jesus know everything at all times? No, he didn't. He knew what the Father showed him. And he did know a lot, and he operated in the gifts of the Spirit a lot. The only gift that we don't see Jesus operating in is the gift of tongues. We don't see him doing tongues or interpretation of tongues. We certainly see him prophesying. We see him giving words of wisdom, words of knowledge, operating in discerning of spirits, the gift of miracles, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gift of faith. We see all the other eight gifts of the Spirit. We don't see tongues. But we see Jesus operating in the power of God, but it wasn't because he was God. It was because he was a man anointed by God. But when he was raised from the dead, you now see God in a man. Jesus is a born again man, and he is the Word of God. He is God Almighty. And 1 John chapter 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it has not yet appeared what we shall be, talking about your glorified body, the blood coming out, the glory going in. But when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Praise God. So I hope that answers your question, Linda. If you want more on it, just email me back and call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Got another email here tonight from our friend Irene. Irene says, hello, all blessings to you. Pastor, do we have powers besides prayer to heal, to cure, to grant miracles? Thanks. Irene, I hope you were just listening because I covered that. I'll give you a little more on it. The simple answer is yes. The next answer would be 100. The next answer would be absolutely. So one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. And as you're turning to Mark 16, I want to remind you that Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some people think that the powers of the early church were done away with the early church. But I want you to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And so the same Holy Spirit that filled the 120 in the upper room is the same one filling people today with the Holy Spirit and with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues, which is for every single Christian. So Mark chapter 16, Jesus is speaking here beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs? They shall cast out demons. The word devils here should have been translated demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up snakes. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So yes, God is doing miracles today. And we've been talking about it pretty much the whole session tonight, about receiving the end of your faith, about praying and believing God for a miracle and not letting go, holding fast to your profession of faith. Praise God. And so yes, Jesus is still in the miracle working business today. And we need to do what his word says. And when you're a doer of the word, you'll see the manifestation. Let me say one thing, because I hear Christians talking about that if I take, for example, a medicine or a shot in my body, that I can believe God that if I drink any deadly thing, it will not harm me. I will take up serpents. If I get stung or pricked by a needle, it won't harm me. Listen, be very careful with this, because that temptation similarly came to Jesus in the wilderness. And Satan said, if you be, no, he didn't. He said, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and he said, cast yourself off this temple, commit suicide, jump off. Because it is written in Psalm 91 that God will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And what did Jesus do? So, oh yeah, you're right. And he jumped off and the angels protected him. No, it's not what he did. What did he say? He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. So if you know something is poison and you put it in your body, you're tempting God. Now, here's another great story. A pastor was just telling me this last week. When he was a kid, a missionary came to his church. He's a little bit older than me, so this is probably 35, 40 years ago. And this missionary was from Russia. And he snuck Bibles into Russia. This is back over the under the former Soviet Union. And they arrested him. The KGB arrested him. They put him in jail. And they said, they mocked him. And they said, so you say that if you drink something deadly, it won't harm you. So we're going to prove it. And they took a glass. He told this testimony in inside of a gymnasium to all these children. They took a glass with cyanide, and they gave him the cyanide to drink it. They forced him to drink it, and it didn't harm him at all. He didn't take it to tempt God. He was forced to take it, and it didn't harm him. When Paul was making a fire, and he reached his hand in, and a snake jumped out from the sticks and lunged onto him and grabbed onto him and emptied his fangs, emptied his venom sacs into Paul's body. All the barbarians looked and they said, Paul should be dying right now. Paul never died because he wasn't tempting God. If you drink any deadly thing by accident or you're forced to drink it, it won't harm you. If you are bit by a snake, not because you're in some southern United States apostolic church and you're tempting God, it won't harm you. But because it happens accidentally, it won't harm you. I hope that helps somebody tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you for that wonderful question. Irene, call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Susan. Susan says, Pastor, what are the Apocrypha books? Thank you. The Apocrypha books were created by the Catholic Church in the 1500s after Martin Luther nailed the thesis onto the Catholic Church. And they then, about 50 years later, came up with these books called the Apocrypha, and they added to the canon of Scripture, which was developed in 350 AD in the Council of Nicaea. The Apocrypha, these Catholic books, do not line up with the canon of Scripture. And so we do not accept them as inspired word that is unquestionable. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Susan. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Beth. Beth sent me a graphic that you would find like on Facebook or something. And it says, hey, pastor, for you. And it says, a pastor that cares about where you will spend eternity will preach not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. I love it. And I agree 100%. Praise God. Thank you for encouraging me tonight, Beth. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Yola. I love your name, Yola. Yola says, amen. Here's another emoji. And it says, life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. And Christ is the cure. Woo! That's so good. And this little young man has a shirt on that says Jesus saves. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much for that. Call you blessed tonight, Yola. And her last name is Beach. Yola, I'd like to hang out with you on the beach. Praise God. Some beach time would be good right about now. Hey, Gary?
Oh, I'm there.
Amen. Email tonight from Bob. Bob says, praise God and praise the Spirit of Faith radio show. I pray for you. Thank you, Bob. Really appreciate that. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ron. Ron says, the best Bible concordance. Any recommendations? So I have Strong's Concordance. I really like Thayer's. And I was talking about this at the beginning tonight. I'm holding it up for my Facebook folks. It's called Mounce's Complete Expository Dictionary. It's really good. I highly recommend it. Mounce's Expository Dictionary. You can get it from Amazon. I'm a little careful sometimes with Strong's because Strong's, Dr. Strong was a Calvinist. And Calvinists have a bit of wrong doctrine, so I'm careful there, but Strong's is good. What's the other one I'm trying to think of? Thayer's is good. There's another one. Not thinking of it right now. Praise God. But those are some good examples for you. Thank you, Ron. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Jamie. Jamie sent me a picture. It says, yes, absolutely. And the words on this picture says, you can go 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but you can't go a single second without God. Amen. Praise God. Good word. Call you blessed tonight. Jamie, in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from our friend Sherry. Sherry says, the world is acting just like Pharaoh did. They fear the plagues, but they don't fear God Big mistake. I agree 100%, Sherry. Excellent post. And what a privilege again to be with you tonight. I want to thank our producer, Gary, who always does a tremendous job. And I want to thank all our listeners the most and encourage you to tune in next Sunday and encourage others to tune in. Check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Also check out wordoffaithtoronto.com. You can get all of our bookmarks, so you can read your chapters with us every day. Bookmark. You can also get today's message and other messages by simply going there. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
For listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.